Hi there, listener. How are you doing? I can't really hear you, so don't answer. The truth is 10 years old today. We have made so many stories over the years. We've done every genre. We've done multi-part series. We've done live shows. And there's just like so much stuff there. And I know it can be overwhelming if you're new to the show. You know, where do I start? How do I even know what I like? So to celebrate our 10th anniversary, we asked folks on our mailing list to tell us about their favorite true story ever. And then I interviewed a bunch of them. They're from all over the world, and they're really thoughtful, and some of the stories are so poignant, and I had a wonderful time talking with all of them. We'll hear from them later in the show. But first, we also want to hear from you. We want you to help us choose the best truth story of all time. So we made a little game. It's a bracket featuring 16 of the most popular episodes of The Truth from the last 10 years. There'll be four rounds of voting. And just like in a sports bracket, you'll be comparing two episodes, one to another, deciding which one you like better. So, like, which is better, tape delay or robocalls? I mean, it's a tough choice, right? Moon graffiti or Voyager found? This is stuff we need to know. So go to radiotopia.fm/truth10 to vote. Voting is open now, but you don't have long. The final round of the bracket will close on February 17th. Our polls are open, so go vote now. radiotopia.fm/truth10. And we will announce the winner on our next episode of The Truth. And after the break, we're going to hear from listeners about their favorite stories, including this one from a man whose job is to transport human remains from the place of death to the funeral home.
Listening to Rideshare was the most meta experience of my life.
I'm Jonathan Mitchell. This is The Truth. And on this episode, we're celebrating 10 years of raw emotions and unexpected plot twists, voices in your head. That's right. It's 10 years of us. So stick around.
Psst, you didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
Okay, so I asked people on our mailing list to tell us about their favorite true story ever. And so when we talk about these stories, I don't want to give away too much, but I do want to hear everyone talk about the stories, like really talk about them. So we have some mild spoilers in this episode, but hopefully they're the kind that will just make you want to go hear the story even more. And we have our first listener with us now. Could you please introduce yourself?
I just want to say, first off, it's so funny to hear and like see you in person. I've listened to your voice so many times. Is my audio okay? I guess I should.
It sounds okay. Fine. You can turn it down a little bit.
Maybe that's better.
Yeah, that's okay. Great.
Yeah, so my name is Shay, and I started listening to The Truth back in 2012 when I was just starting high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time. That's like the whole life of the show.
Yeah.
And so you are going to tell us about your favorite episode after all that time, your favorite episode of The Truth. Which episode is it?
That episode is Tape Delay.
All right. Let's hear a little bit of Tape Delay.
Started out the same exact way as I had just recalled it. Then it starts to sound like not me.
Do you know how long you're gonna be?
I remember listening to Tape Delay for the first time and just absolutely like sweating through my shirt the first time I heard it. It was horrifying, but in a very interesting way, because I was like, wow, this is how my brain works.
It's the exact same words that I believe I had just said, but when I listened to the tape, it sounded like not me, but this jerk.
Can you hear me?
I had a lot of undiagnosed, like, social anxiety as a kid, and so it was just very shocking to hear, like, oh, you know, maybe this is confirmation for me that everybody is not my friend or doesn't really like me, or there's something that they're not telling me. And I could just relate to the character a lot. And he is pretty morally gray, I guess, more towards the end. I won't spoil it. But
how did you relate to him?
I saw him as someone who was trying very hard. And I think that scared me because I realized that I also tried very hard. And if he was trying very hard and I could hear it, and he was coming on the other side of an interaction with something bad happening, it struck a very real nerve with me of being afraid of interaction going poorly.
Yeah, it's that lack of control.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that there, this, you know, the second half goes a little more into the embarrassment factor for me listening to it at the time, because if I had the opportunity, like this character, to re-piece a conversation and listen back to it, I would have felt so soothed by that. And so it was hearing him go through the motions of doing something that you don't usually listen to, or something that you do in private, was also kind of scary.
I mean, yeah, she was upset.
Yes, I see you.
She was also patient and...
I am okay.
Sincere and genuine and authentic.
You know, I was really actually looking forward to this.
And I thought, well, what if I put something in there that I know is nice?
Well, here we are, huh?
Hi.
I'm so glad to finally meet you.
I was really actually looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too, definitely.
So I was actually diagnosed as well with like maladaptive daydreaming. So I would lose like pretty big chunks of my day. Like it was sort of a ritualistic thing for me when I was a kid. I would, you know, a couple hours before I would go to bed, I would just kind of lie on the bed and think back to all the conversations that I'd had through the day and sort of run back through them and spin them for the next day and see how I could interact with my family or my friends or schoolmates the next day and make it good. I just wanted to make it good. And so listening to this character who had that chance to make a good interaction for himself, even if it wasn't for anybody else, it was just for him. It was embarrassing to hear because it was like self-reflection of like, I would never tell anybody that I did this, but here he is on on this podcast, you know, doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I mean, it was like, it was sort of like a fantastical leap, you know, like I was trying to make this story work, and I had recorded with these actors. We'd improvised that first opening sequence, and I was like, I don't know if I can go back to this actress again and ask her to do this scene one more time, but I know I have access to the actor. And so I was like, oh, maybe I can just rewrite Ed's lines and use her tape and make the scene work that way. And like, wait a minute, maybe the character does that.
That's amazing.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm a radio producer, I think, is because when I started editing tape, I felt that sense of control over time was something that was kind of, I don't know, therapeutic in a way.
Mm.
You know? So you said the story was scary for you when you first heard it. How do you feel about it now?
I think I listened to it a second time the next day when I had kind of built up some more bravery around it, and I brought it to my best friend at the time, who had no idea what a podcast was, and my like 10-year-old sister, who also had no idea what a podcast was. I had them both listen to it, and they both came back with the information I was afraid of like, yeah, we definitely don't think like this. This is kind of irrational. And so I came to my parents at the time, and they were pretty conservative. They didn't really believe in mental health care. But after I graduated, I got out of the cult and the family. And I spent my first paycheck on mental health care. And that was definitely the catalyst for me to realize, maybe I need some actual help.
Well, I'm really glad you found it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, Shay.
Yeah, I'll be excited to hear what everybody else is recommending too.
You know, when we put together the show, it's easy to lose sight of the person who's listening because you don't see them. And sometimes the sheer reach of the internet is really quite unexpected.
My name is Malcolm Mutambalengwe.
Where are you right now?
Right now I'm in Harare, Zimbabwe.
Wow, that's the other side of the world,
it's
basically.
It's the other side of the world.
Yeah, and so which episode do you want to recommend?
Possible side effects. It was actually quite close because there were several episodes, but that's the one that really stood out, but where I said, wow, you know, these guys are insane, but they're insanely creative.
I've been hearing voices.
What?
Yeah, I've been hearing voices.
Okay, have the voices told you to hurt yourself or others?
No, that's the thing. Voices are great. I mean, they're really great. They encourage me to get out of bed and get to work on time. They tell me that I'm sexy. I mean, they remind me to floss. They're giving me advice on how to move ahead at work.
Any paranoia? Any suicidal ideation?
He already said we were awesome.
No, if anything, it is like less bad thoughts than before, right? I mean, there's three of them, right? We got Kimmy, the sweet one.
Aw, thanks.
Then there's Tina, the sensible one. And then there's Scar, which she's pretty much always oogling me and trying to get my pants.
I really liked that the voices were female and our main character was male. It added a certain sexual element to it, but I also guess it made it convincing because whatever decisions we want to make, they have to be attractive.
Joel, no matter what happens, you're going to be fine. You are a brilliant, brave, funny guy. You'll be okay.
I'm going to fold like a cheap card table.
No, you won't. God, you are better than that.
Card tables are actually very hard to fold. Remember that time you had to turn it over and almost stand on the legs to get them to, like...
That's because Joel forgot to push in the metal supporters.
Not the point, guys.
No, she has a point. That card table was both cheap and very hard to fold.
I think it's a mirror on ourselves. Whatever choices we make in life, we kind of know the final outcome, but we still kind of make the decision anyway. It could be anything. It could be exercise. It could be eating too much sugar. You name it. We kind of know the ending. It's so easy to be hard on this guy, but when we look at ourselves introspectively, we kind of realize, you know what? We are not as different from him as you might think. Kudos to the writer.
Yeah, his name is Casper Kelly. Yeah, he wrote two other stories on our show. He wrote Dark End of the Mall.
Okay.
And he wrote Justice Battalion.
Justice Battalion. Is that where they were superheroes and then...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a really great writer. He writes a lot for television. He did this special for Adult Swim called Too Many Cooks that went viral back in 2014.
Well, it was an honor for me to have the chance to talk to someone who's made something that's changed my life. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really, really nice to hear.
Well, thank you so much.
You can hear Possible Side Effects and all the stories we're talking about today on our website, thetruthpodcast.com. Not every story we do is going to be for everyone. Sometimes you just have to be in the right mood or in the right setting. And our next listener heard one of our stories in the most surreal place I can imagine.
My name is Matt Musgrove, and I am a funeral attendant.
And so which story are you recommending?
Oh, I'm recommending Rideshare. So my job is I transfer human remains of loved ones from the place of death to the funeral home.
Wow.
So, yeah. Listening to Rideshare was the most meta experience of my life.
I'm actually just coming from trivia. I know it doesn't matter, but my team won.
Bravo. Good for you.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's funny how mortality makes winning seem important.
I was transferring three loved ones that night, and it was a long night, and it can be very long evenings. You know, they're people, so having them with me, it was a surreal experience.
Wait, we're not even going in the right direction.
It's not even the long way. It's just not the way.
It's the direction we're going.
I'm gonna call another driver, and...
Death is never convenient.
Do you have reception?
And I love how, you know, these two characters just hop in a stranger's vehicle, as we all do with Rideshare.
I don't want to die.
Oh, I can't kill you.
So you'll just torture us in a basement or something. Quaint.
Please, I have a cat, and I'm a
you
teacher.
You can personalize and I just had a really good Tinder
date, and
want.
It's...
You're already dead.
What?
Sit back. Look out the window. You're suspended right now. In transit.
Prove it. Prove I'm dead.
Check your pulse.
I liked how she took her time. Like, the man who committed the crime and, you know, shot her, he immediately started chugging away at the Styx water to just forget about it. And, you know, she took time to learn about how am I supposed to feel about this? Because nobody really knows how to feel about grief. It's unlike any other emotion to comes in waves. It's unpredictable. How far do you delve into it? When do you move on? When is it appropriate to move on in your heart and in your mind? And when is there forgiveness? And then the driver tells you, well, does it even matter now? And that's hard to take in too. Because you're gone.
So, the sunrises, births and deaths and subway delays and acts of love and all the kale I ate, it doesn't matter then?
It all matters.
It all matters.
Well, everything except the kale.
I had to reach out to you because the truth's been a big part of my life. You are very inspiring, and really a big shout out to Lila Newman. She's a brilliant writer. It was a very powerful story.
Thank you so much, Matt. That was really nice. And it wouldn't be a truth episode without some ads in the middle. I know. But they're so important. They're so important for our show. They really make everything we do possible. So this episode of The Truth is brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy. And BetterHelp wants to tackle some of the stigmas around mental health. For example, many people think therapy is for other people. But utilizing therapy doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It means you recognize that all humans have emotions, and we need to learn to understand them and not avoid them. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online Therapy. And Truth listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/thetruth. That's betterhelp.com/thetruth. The beginning of the new year is a great time to finally start things, like diets, workout routines, or thinking about your financial future. Even if you don't plan on getting off your couch in 22, you should at the very least do one responsible thing while you sit there. Check out Wealthfront.com. You can start investing in no time with Wealthfront's classic portfolio, or you can make it your own with things that you care about, like socially responsible funds, technology, crypto trusts, or hundreds of other investments. Wealthfront was designed by financial experts to help you turn your good ideas into great investments without the hassle of doing everything yourself. To start building your wealth and get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/truth. That's wealthfront.com/truth to start building your wealth today. Our next listener is a very devoted fan of The Truth. Could you please introduce yourself?
My name's Eileen Maidash, and I've been listening to The Truth ever since you started, and I've never left. You know, a lot of things only go for a few years and then drop off, but Here you are.
Yeah, and you are here to recommend your favorite episode. Which episode is it?
I want to recommend the episode Fish Girl.
Must be nice having this whole place to yourself.
It's okay. I get really bored and really lonely.
I like being alone.
But you still come to visit me?
You talk to me. When I'm with people, it's just like I'm alone but getting judged.
What do you mean? What do people judge you for?
Everything.
Well, at the time in my life, I had a daughter that was just like the girl. In there. And actually, when I sent it out to my kids to listen to it again, my daughter said, that reminds me so much of Jen. So she was just like that character. And I could easily drop her off for hours, and she would just love to be in the fifth store.
Next question. What do you do for fun? Like with other kids?
I don't do anything with the other kids. They call me Fish Girl.
Who does?
People in my class. I told my friend about how I talk to fish, and, well, she told everyone. So now they call me that.
Fish Girl sounds like a compliment to me.
Trust me, it's not.
Oh.
Have you spent a lot of time around aquariums?
Yes. My daughter, she had a 55-gallon fish tank, and we spent a lot of time at Slither and Swim in West Haven, Connecticut.
Did she ever, develop relationships with the fish, you know, in that same kind of way?
She actually could teach them to do tricks.
No kidding.
Yeah, she looked it up on YouTube, and it could go down and pick up a ball and bring it to the top, you know, and she's the only person I know that could train fish to do things.
That's incredible. Yeah. It's like dolphins, but tiny.
Yeah. Now she's getting a PhD in microbiology out in Arizona. So it's been a little while since this came out.
Yeah. I wish the writer, Rebecca Shaw, were here because she could talk about what inspired her to write it. I think I suggested to her to write a story based on something something she knew a lot about. And this is what she chose to write.
But it was just well done from beginning to end, the storyline. You know, it was just really a well-crafted story is how I felt about that one. And many others, too.
I'm also wondering, is there anything, because it's our 10th anniversary, is there anything that you hope for the future of the truth?
That you keep on going. I love the actors, especially now when I can't get to a theater. When I was little, we used to have a campfire and we would listen to like The Pit and the Pendulum at night. This is something I could like listen to at night around a campfire.
You can hear Fish Girl and all of the stories we're talking about today on our website, thetruthpodcast.com. And now we're going to spin the globe once again for our final listener recommendation. Let's see where it lands.
So, yeah, I am from, my name is Chakradhar Vallabh. I'm a civil engineer by profession. I am from India. So I found the truth in middle of 2016 when I was actually, this is one of the first podcasts I ever heard. I wanted to recommend You're Not Alone.
You're not alone.
You're not alone.
Jared.
Jared. You're not alone.
And that connected to me a lot because personally I was also in a not so great place, and that episode actually gave me a lot of hope.
Here, take this. People just leave them in the shop all the time.
Thanks very much.
The compassion she showed towards him, that's what actually stuck with me, and that's what I could see myself in both the characters, the one who is actually down and the one who is actually being compassionate and trying to help, and she respects him.
My work. I could use some help. And
she's flirting with you.
If you don't mind helping me out with that, then I'd be happy to give you a free cup of coffee.
She's in love with you.
A sandwich, maybe.
You're serious?
I'm totally serious.
Just lift her left titty.
Like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
One of the voices starts talking very explicitly. Like, grab her.
Okay. My name's Lisa.
Give her a tongue bath.
You're Jared, Lisa.
Nice to meet you, Jared.
She's afraid of you.
That dialogue actually stood with me because it's such a dark thing to think. It's I don't know how you come up with this stuff and how you edit this, but it just worked. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we're all filled with these contradictions. Yeah.
Yes.
And most of us are able to filter them out. You know.
Yeah.
Those voices, you know, that he hears, those were all improvised.
Oh, wow.
And I just had a group of improvisers standing in a circle, and we'd give them a prompt,
mm-hmm.
and go around the circle and get a response from each of them, and we just do that with lots of different things that we thought would be useful in the story. And then when I was editing it, I'm like how because I don't hear voices, but I talk to myself in ways that are often, you know, contradictory. Like, it's very dark, but very, you know, you know what I mean? It's like in the story. And I was trying to be honest about how emotions can kind of manipulate you.
Yeah. Try doing like a pattern, like a strumming pattern. You know, going back to
I think also it's a story about being a musician.
Yeah.
I remember when I made it, I thought, I hope this makes people want to play music.
Yeah, and to add to that, I also think it's a great story about second chances. And it's just, yeah, it's a good, wholesome story. That's what I think I told in the email too, that it, in a weird way, it's absolutely wholesome.
Yeah, it has a moral center.
Yes.
That's a really good example of Lewis's sensibility, Lewis Kornfeld, who wrote that. Oh. I'm really glad that that story has a happy ending, because I think with a lot of those stories, it goes someplace really dark and sort of stays there. And this one kind of tries to find a way out of that darkness, you know.
As a hobby, I'm a writer. So I like writing stories. I like coming up with characters. I like having like a structure and trying to learn about writing. And Truth has definitely challenged me to write better and write, learn more and, you know, write well-rounded characters rather than being just a cliche, as you mentioned. If this story had a negative ending, it's one of 100 stories which follows that trope. But having a happy ending and tying music to it is just something I thought I wouldn't have come up with, and it just feels so original, and I want to write something as original and as impressive as that. So in that way, it has helped me in my personal level as far as my writing goes.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's really nice. I wish Lewis could be here to hear that too, because I think it would make him very happy as well. You know, one thing I kept thinking as I was talking to these folks is that people really seem to want to talk about our stories. And there isn't really a great place for that. So the more of you that join a forum and start talking about it, the more like a place like that'll grow. You know, I think there's a space for it on Reddit right now. There's some great podcast platforms. Repod has a really nice discussion feature. But there's lots of stuff out there. You know, just find someplace and help our community grow. And don't forget about our bracket. We need you to help us name the best true story ever. So go to radiotopia.fm/truth10 to vote. Voting is open now, but you don't have long. The final round of the bracket will close on February 17th. Don't miss this chance to determine the answer to this very important question. We will announce the winner on our next episode of The Truth. Our polls are open, so go vote now. radiotopia.fm/truth10. Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who has helped make this show over the years. I feel so fortunate to have worked with an amazing group of talented people. There are so many. I tried to make a list and I gave up, because there's no way you'd sit here for another 30 minutes with me listing them all. It's overwhelming to me. How much has changed, how much the show has grown, how much I've changed, how many incredibly interesting and talented people I've met through doing this show. It's a really collaborative project, and we're doing it together with you. That you are there makes it worth doing. So thank you so much for listening to our show for 10 years. And I hope we're around for a few more. So I'm Jonathan Mitchell, and for 10 years, you have been hearing
The Truth. Radiotopia. From P.